Amen. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 35, it says there, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, tempted him, asking him a question, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." So once again, we're going to walk in love and be people who keep that commandment first, and that positions us to see the word work mightily in our lives. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start a new teaching tonight. I don't know if I'll continue doing this on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights, but we're going to start something here tonight. And next time I minister on Wednesdays, then we might continue with this. We're going to start a teaching talking about diligence. And we're going to entitle it, Diligence, the Missing Factor in the Kingdom of God. And I said that some of the things you might hear tonight, you're going to get challenged. I'm not here to challenge you, but, you know, the Holy Spirit also reproves and corrects, right? And even rebukes, right? And whenever you get challenged, that's a good thing, because if you'll accept that challenge and just say, well, yeah, that's right, Holy Spirit, help me to go higher in this, He'll help you to go higher. The worst thing you can do is get offended. That's the worst thing that can happen. I didn't try to find things that I could say to make you mad. You know, I'd like all of you just to love me and smile at me and think, oh, that's good, that's nice. But this is the way the Lord wants to go. So this is the direction we're going to go tonight. And I believe in my heart you're really going to get something out of this. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says there, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now you notice that scripture did not say He is the rewarder of those that are saved, are those that have prayed the prayer of salvation. But He's the rewarder of those who diligently do what? And notice it didn't just say seek Him. It had diligently in there. Now, if diligently didn't need to be in there, it wouldn't be in there. So there's a difference between somebody that's saved, somebody that's just seeking Him, and then somebody who's diligently seeking Him. Do you see how diligently is the difference now? Because I can be saved and not see much reward in my life. A lot of people are experiencing that. I can be saved and seeking Him, but not see a lot of reward in my life. But if I'm saved and diligently seeking Him, you see how that's the difference right there? Diligently seeking Him. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Say diligence. That's not a bad word. Hebrews chapter 6, and look at let's look at verse 10 here. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work." You see that? We'll talk about that in a second. "And labor of love, which you've showed towards His name, in that you ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that you be not slothful," that's lazy, "but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So slothful people don't inherit the promises, but those who are diligent and through faith and patience, those people will receive the promise. Notice it didn't say the saved people receive the promises. It said the diligent people who follow those through faith and patience who aren't slothful will receive the promise. Can you see that the scriptures are already talking to us about being diligent? There's no scripture in here that says thou shalt be lazy, right? That's not in here. So diligence is what we're after. Now, let's go to John chapter 6, and I want to show you a few things. John chapter 6. Now, when we're talking, now you can get confused in this. The devil will help anybody be confused that will allow him to. Understand that you don't have to be diligent to be saved. You don't have to be diligent to be loved. And you can be the laziest, slothfulest person on the earth, but if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're saved and you're going to be in heaven. And you can be lazy and God will still love you. So understand, when we're talking about working and being diligent, we're not preaching works that you have to work to be saved. That's not true, because you're saved by grace through faith. And there's a difference between preaching works and preaching work. And tonight we are preaching work. Now, this is not work to be saved. This is work because God told you to. Did you hear me? I mean, some believe we get so overwhelmed with it. A lot of times we use grace as an excuse to be lazy. Well, we don't have to do anything. It's not by works. It's all by grace, 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 grace. Yeah, but you still got to do something. Because I just read two scriptures here that said, don't be lazy and seek God diligently, right? And do you remember the scripture we just read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10? God said, how do you say that? Let me read that to you. He said, for God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So you're supposed to be working, right? Working to be saved? No, you already got that. But working and laboring at the things he's told you to work and labor to do. Are you with me so far? So we're not preaching works, we're preaching work. Okay? Now, John chapter 6, and let's look at verse 27. I want to just show you a few scriptures about working. John chapter 6, verse 27, and Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. Now, I believe he's talking about the word of God here, because the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, talks about the word being meat, or the meat of God's word. And what he's saying here is, don't labor with meat that perishes, but labor with meat that doesn't perish unto everlasting life. But do you see the word labor? You know what that means? Work. Notice it didn't say labor with reruns of Gunsmoke, Andy Griffith, and whatever favorite show you watch. That's meat that perishes, in one sense. He's saying labor in the word. Work in the word. Are you with me? Well, I'm not getting too many smiles already. That's okay. I'm not moved by what I see. That's all right. Let's go to the next place. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're not working to be saved. You're not working to earn God's love for you. You can't do that. But you're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be doing things in the earth and not being just lazy believers. Where did I tell you to go? Colossians chapter 1 here? Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 28 here. The Apostle Paul says, he's talking about, we'll pick this up in the last part of verse 27. It says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what he was preaching. And in verse 28 it says, whom we preach, warning and every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving to his working, which works in me mightily. So what's he saying? I'm working, right? I'm doing what he's called me to do, laboring. Okay, let's look at just one more here. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You're right there by it. Look at chapter 1. He says, I work, striving. I'm laboring, preaching Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 3 here. It says, remember without ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith. Is faith work? Must be, right? Because if it wasn't, he wouldn't call it a work of faith. Okay? And it says, and your labor of love. Is loving and walking in love and keeping that commandment, is that work? That keeps some of you busy? That's work, isn't it? It's hard sometimes, right? Should you just quit when it gets hard? Starts getting hard to believe God. Well, I just quit. No, this is work. Are you understanding this? Okay, well, let's look at one more here. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Work. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't be lazy. Hebrews chapter 4. Look back at him and say, judge yourself. Now, because this word, now I'm telling you, because I know this from experience. You start getting a revelation. You ever get a good revelation, the first thing you want to do with it is look at somebody and say, oh, yeah, they're not doing that. That when you get a revelation, a lot of times that the devil, that's the first thing he helps you do. You get a revelation about walking in love, and the first thing you do is start looking at all these people that aren't doing it. Right? And when you start looking at these scriptures about being diligent, the first thing you're going to want to do is go look at all these people who aren't being diligent. But who are you the only one that you're qualified to judge? You, right? You're not qualified to judge anybody else, right? So don't look at somebody else and say they should be more diligent. Just look at yourself and say, I need to be more diligent. I can do better in these areas. Okay? Now, and that's the temptation with this sometimes. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 3. Oh, I apologize. Look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, let us labor. Let us do what?
Labor.
Therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, what's he saying? Work to enter into the rest of faith, right? Work to rest. Work to rest. So you're working. You're working to love. You're working in the Word. You're working to rest. You're working in faith. See, you're working. You're not doing nothing. You're not just being saved. You're working, okay? Look at one more with me here. And let's look at Hebrews chapter. Oh, we looked at that one. Okay. Now go to the next place here with me and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay, now, so the believer is supposed to work, and we're supposed to work hard. You know, there's a scripture we won't get to tonight, but in Proverbs chapter 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways. Now, when it's saying that, God's telling you, go to the ant, and when that word consider means study, perceive, look carefully on how the ant operates, and then the scripture says, and be wise. In other words, what you find out about the ant, put it into practice in your life. And one thing you'll find out about the ant is it's one of the most hardworking insects or creations on the whole earth. So what that tells me right there is that as a believer, nobody should work harder than me. Did you? The world shouldn't work harder at doing wrong and expanding Satan's kingdom than I work harder at doing right and expanding God's kingdom. And one of the problems that we, the church, now just stay with me, a lot of times we're getting outworked by the world. I mean, when you were out there, you know, you didn't miss any Saturday night at the bar. We knew you were going to be there. Some of you didn't miss Thursday, Wednesday. Yeah, what? Now you see what I'm saying? But now we're in church. Now we're in church and I can't get there during the week. See how quiet it's getting? That sting a little? See what I'm saying? A lot of times we're getting outworked, and I'll just give you an example. This one might sting a lot, but I was just telling Amber the other day, I was like, you know, we drive past this Jehovah Kingdom's Witness place on a Tuesday night, and the cotton picking parking lot is full. And you go by most churches on a Wednesday, and they can't get a quarter of the congregation to come. Do you hear me? Now, we're going to go down there. Don't misunderstand me. But all I'm saying is we should be working. Why are we getting outworked? Are you hearing me? No, not working to be saved. Let's work to love. Work in the Word. Work to live by faith. Be diligent in these things. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's keep going here. Now, are you in John chapter 8? So now, understand that nobody, and we talked a little bit about this last week, this kind of slipped in, but nobody on the planet is not diligent with, everybody is diligent in something. Everybody. And we said last week, there are some people that are diligent about being lazy. I mean, you'll find them on that couch watching TV with chips all over their face all the time. See, everybody's diligent about doing something. So nobody's lazy in everything, but what it is, it's selective diligence. And I was giving the example last week that, you know, you got to leave the house and your favorite TV show's on, and you got that sucker TiVo'd on every TV in the house so that you don't miss it, and you check it 30 times. Now, just listen now, but we missed church, and we got CDs back there for you, but you didn't TiVo that. Do you see selective diligence? Now, look, there's no condemnation, but we need to see reality, right? We want to see reality, and this is reality. Well, don't you think this would have been a little bit better to TiVo than maybe that would? See, selective diligence. Don't say you can't do it. No, you can do it. You're diligent in something. Are you with me? And the problem is, it's just our diligence a lot of times in believers' lives is just misplaced. And we need, if we're going to be diligent in doing anything, we need to be diligent in doing God's things. Not to say we're not diligent in the other things. No, but when we're diligent in God's things, it'll start carrying over to natural things. Are you seeing that? Now, so we need to properly place our diligence. We don't want to walk in selective diligence. And most people have selective diligence, and they're diligent in always flesh-pleasing activities. So if it's pleasing my flesh, man, I'm diligent about that. But see, that's just selective. So if you can be diligent, see, the good news is this. If you can be diligent in doing the wrong thing, you can be diligent in doing the right thing. You just got to make a decision to do it. Okay? Now, say this with me. There's no condemnation. Okay? But understand that if you're walking around your whole life and you're lazy in the things of God, but you think you're diligent, that's a real problem. So the first thing that has to happen is we got to get light in this area so we can see ourselves for what we really are. Because if we don't know there's a problem, we're not going to try to fix it. Did you hear me? So now let's be selective and be diligent in the things of God first. Right? Okay, now, selective diligence. You know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I don't got time to get in the Word, but, you know, you watch 4 hours of TV every night. See, you just chose what to be diligent. Well, let's just make a different decision. Okay? I can tell that hit close to home. Praise the Lord. Now, so are you in John chapter 8? Now, so in the body of Christ, what we need to understand, most people aren't lazy, but where our diligence has been misplaced. And what we're talking about tonight isn't, we're not talking about being diligent in natural things. That's true. You should be diligent about getting to work, doing your job, you know, keeping your stuff in order. That's fine. But we're not, the Lord didn't instruct me to talk about that. We're talking about being diligent in the Word and in the things of God. Okay? Now, diligence now has been the missing factor in the kingdom of God. And diligence, what we need to be diligent to do is to diligent to find out what the Word says, and then be diligent to be a doer of what the Word says. Be a diligent hearer and doer of the Word, because listen, people are cut off and destroyed. That word destroyed means they're cut off from God's provision and protection because of what they don't know, right? That's what Hosea said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So a lot of times people are being cut off from the provision and God's protection that God has for them because of what they don't know from His Word to do. Well, why don't they know? Did you hear me? Why don't they know? I mean, all this Word out here, television stations, CDs, computers, websites. I mean, why don't they know? Did you hear me? Well, because they haven't been diligent to go take time to know. Are you with me? I mean, I'm not the reason you don't know. I've been down here preaching for 2 years now. It feels like 8 days a week. Now, I'm not the reason you don't know. Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on your pastors. I mean, they have services 2 days a week. It ain't their fault you don't know. I mean, you got that Bible right there. I mean, we got a table full of tapes back there. I mean, I keep putting those suckers on sale, and you guys still don't. I mean, my gosh. I mean, maybe you don't like me, but go find somebody you like. That's fine. Go get somebody out there that you trust and that teaches the Word, and go get yourself some tapes and some CDs and have somebody preaching the Word to you. I don't care if it's me, but it needs to be somebody, right? You need to have somebody teaching you the Word. Let's pick and choose where we're going to be diligent in, and let's pick the right place. Because I don't want to be cut off because of what I don't know. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, man, we had so much more for you. I mean, we had this waiting for you and that waiting for you and this call for you. But you spent too much time in front of that TV. We couldn't get the Word to you, so you didn't know anything and you got cut off. We're trying. Did you hear me? I don't want that to happen. Now, that's one group. The other group is you know what to do. Maybe not everything, but you know a lot. And this is the person we find in James chapter 1, a hearer only, but not a doer. Well, I don't want to be that person either. I don't want to get to heaven and say, why didn't you do all some of that stuff that you learned? Did you hear me? Well, why aren't we doing? Laziness. Why aren't we taking the time to hear? Selective diligence. Chose to be diligent in somewhere else. And that's cutting us off. Did you hear me? Well, see, I don't, man, I'd rather fail for a thousand other reasons than just laziness. I mean, that's the last reason I want to lose, because I was lazy. I mean, I can control that. Did you hear me? I don't want that to be the reason. Okay, now, are you with me so far? So now people are cut off from God's provision because of what they don't know. And the other ones are cut off because of what they don't do. So you either don't know, or you know and you're not doing. So we want to be a diligent to hear, diligent to find out what the word says, but then be a diligent to do it and to put it into practice. Okay? Now, we're going to read this here in John chapter 8, just one second. But understand that the answer to every test, to every trial and tribulation in life, is to be a diligent hearer and doer of the word. The answer to every test, every trial, every tribulation, whatever you're going through, is to find out what the word says, be diligent to hear it, and then do what you heard. That's the answer. I mean, this is an open book test. This is not hard. It's not rocket science. You got to go find out what God told you to do and do it. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? Didn't have any wine, and now he's going to turn water into wine. Now, what's your problem? And what was his answer? What did Mary say? Whatever he says, do it. See, so we got to find out what he says, and don't give yourself too much credit thinking, oh, I know what he says. No, go find out again. Are you understanding? Go find out again. You don't maybe know all you need to know. Do what you know, but don't stop finding out. Know it all. Well, heard that before. Heard this before. Talking more about love. Oh, we heard this one. Yeah, walk in love. Well, when are you going to start walking in love? I'm not being hard on you. But we can't, well, I know this, I know that. It's not what you know, it's what you do. Right? And obviously, if you're in church and you're called here and it's still being preached, what's that tell you? I must still need it. Because here I am, and that's the person God called to preach, and that's what they're preaching on, so let me have some more of it. Did you hear me? Okay, this is fun, isn't it? I told you it might sting a little, but that's okay. Just keep a big smile on your face. Nobody will know we're talking about you. Now, so listen now. Problems don't get solved, and victory doesn't manifest until somebody makes a decision to diligently hear and do the word. Problems don't get solved. Victories don't manifest until somebody says, okay, I'm going to be diligent to find out what God says, and I'm not going to stop doing it until victory shows up. Do you ever start on the word and then quit a few days later? And then start again and quit a few days later? Well, see, that's not diligence. The one definition of this word diligence means steady. Steady Eddie. Just all the same, all the time. Diligent, and that's where problems are solved and victories manifest, is when somebody goes to find out what God's word says and just keeps doing it and keeps doing it and keeps doing it until victory shows up. Now, let me read you one more, and then we'll read this. We then can trace the root of every failure in life back to a failure to be diligent in hearing and doing the word. An area where you keep falling short, 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 keep falling short. What's the problem? You either don't know what God said, or you're not doing what God says, or you know and you're doing, but you're not doing diligently. Right? See, that's the idea. If the root to every victory and every success starts with somebody hearing and doing the word, then every failure in life can be traced back to you didn't know what God said, because if you knew what God said and did it, I can tell you this right now, failure wouldn't have showed up. What did God say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't fail you. That means I'm not going to tell you to do something and then you'll fail. Right? What happens to the people? The Proverbs 13:13 says this. It says, those who despise the word will get what? Destruction, right? But those who fear the word, or fear the commandment, it says, will be rewarded. Are you with me? Now, look at John chapter 8. Let's back these things up that we just said here. John chapter 8, saw this one before, but let's read it again. It says in verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see where the answer was? It was in hearing the word and then continuing in the word until the word became truth and made them free. Now go to Joshua chapter 1. This is a good one to look at. Joshua chapter 1. What are we talking about? The answer to every test, trial, tribulation in life is to be a diligent hearer and doer of the word. I mean, you know, we get so spiritual sometimes that it's dumb. I mean, I just can't figure out why this is still around. I just can't figure out why this is still happening. Well, what have you heard from the word that you're doing with that situation? Did you hear me? I mean, we just preached all those weeks on faith, didn't we? Was somebody here when I preached that? I know some of you were. I recognize some of your faces. Well, see, what did you hear from that you're doing? See, what did you hear that you're doing? Because that was a 12-week teaching on how to walk in victory. Well, I kind of forgot what was preached. Well, just go back to your notes. Well, I didn't take notes. Well, go get the CDs. I didn't get the CDs. You got a problem. Come on now. We got to be diligent doers. Doers. Victory never came because you heard so much word. Victory comes because you hear it and do it. Okay? Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It says, "Meditate, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, and you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in therein." So why are you meditating the word? Just so you can come and say, "Well, I've been meditating the word for 3 hours." No, you're saying you're meditating it so that you can do it. You come to hear it preached so that you can do it. Right? Now notice when he meditated the word. I meditated the word on Sunday for 15 minutes before I came to church. What did it say? Meditate it day and night. That you may observe to do all that's according to written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Did you see it said then? Then means a certain time. And the then time that you're going to be prosperous and have good success is after the time that you meditated the word day and night and then did the word, and then you'll be prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Notice the prosperity and the success did not come prior to hearing and doing the word, but it came after hearing and doing the word. Did you see that? So victory and success in your life, do you think it's going to come some different way? Now, Joshua, he didn't have that big an assignment. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, Moses, the greatest man that ever walked the planet Earth, could not get these people into the promised land. But that's Joshua's job. But that's not that big a deal. And the first assignment he's got is he's got to go part the Jordan. Well, what? That's not. I mean, what's your problem? You hear me? I mean, this is a big, big assignment. Big deal. You know what God's answer is to him? Find out what I said, meditate on it, and then be a doer of it. And you'll be prosperous and have good success. And he did it. But notice it was meditate it day and night. Meditate it day and night. Okay? Now, praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? Okay. Can you take a little bit more of this? Some of you are thinking, I'm not sure. I'm challenged enough. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Be a diligent hearer and doer of the word. I mean, you just got to be honest with yourself. You know, I mean, one thing that you got to practice doing is being able to be honest with yourself, but without condemning yourself. This is reality. This is who I am. But there's no guilt or condemnation. This isn't right. I'm not supposed to be like this, but this is who I am. So now I need to make a change. I'm not guilty about who I am. I'm going to repent and get forgiveness, but this is who I am, and I'm just going to make a change, right? And that's what we want to challenge you to do is, I mean, just start, take some inventory on your life. Do some self-examination. I mean, how much time are you giving, or how much priority do you give God and his word in your life? I mean, how much priority do you give it? I mean, if it's Sunday, well, I mean, then how much victory do you really expect to see? And if all you do is come and hear on Sunday, but you don't even plan to do what you hear, well, I mean, wow. We just answered a lot of questions right there. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm just going to keep smiling at you. Proverbs chapter 20. Are you getting something out of this? Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to look at this in the time we have left. The difference, we're going to look at the slothful versus the diligent. the slothful versus the diligent. Now, this word diligence, I'm not going to read all this definition. I got a pretty long one here, but I'm just going to read you one part of this. Diligence means steady application in business of any kind, constant effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken, exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth. To be diligent means that you give something due attention, that you pay attention to it, that you're attentive and not idle or negligent. It also means to be zealous or to passionately seek something or to be eager. Okay, well, we'll look at that next time. We're going to look at this in Proverbs chapter 20. But diligent also means to be prompt, to be skilled, to be regular and repeated, to be passionate, to pursue anything with eagerness, an animated desire, to work with earnestness, an intense desire, fixed attention. Are you getting the idea? It's ready. It's diligent. It's steady, right? It's faithful. Persevering is another one. We could keep going on and on. We will next time we come, but that'll give you an idea. Now look at Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 4. It says here, the sluggard, that means the lazy person, will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. The sluggard won't plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Now, look at this in verse 4. Look at the part where it says, the sluggard will not. Did you see it didn't say could not? It said would not. So this is an act of his will. And God said this to me today. It's good. I'm going to read you just like he said. He said this, slothfulness in the things of God is not a byproduct of your busy schedule, but it's a choice you make. I'm going to read it again. Slothfulness in the things of God is not a byproduct of your busy schedule, but it's a choice that you make. See, people a lot of times say, well, I just don't have time. Well, see, he made a decision. Slothfulness was a choice. And slothfulness or laziness in our lives is not a byproduct because we're so busy, but it's a choice we made. Did you hear me? I mean, how many of you miss a lot of meals feeding your physical body? See, we all find time for that, right? We all find time to eat, but we can't find time to spend time in the Word. Well, how about skipping a meal? See how quiet it got there? Skip a meal? Man, I'd be mean the rest of the day. Well, I'm just saying, we find time for that. You find time to feed your physical body, but you don't have time to feed your spirit. If you're going to feed anything, you'd be better off feeding your spirit. Right? And see, a lot of times what happens, God showed me this once. He said, remember the scripture said, if you're not faithful in the least, you won't be made ruler over much. And God said, one reason people always feel like they don't have, that they're always busy and don't have enough time. You ever feel like that? He said, one reason that happens all the time is because they're not faithful with the time I've given them. And see, so when you're not faithful with the 24 hours you have, God is not going to give you more time. Now, listen, you say, well, how does God give me more time? Well, instead of driving around the parking lot for 20 minutes looking for a spot at Walmart, you just drove in and found the right one. We just saved you 20 minutes. And then he told you to go to Walmart at this time instead of that time, and instead of there being 50 million people in Walmart, there was nobody there when you went. So instead of taking 4 hours to get some groceries, you were out in one. Well, there's 3 more hours. See, if you'll be faithful with the time you have, and that would mean keep God first, you'll find there'll be time to eat, time to go to the grocery store, time to do the rest of those things. But a lot of times the reason we don't have time to feel like to do all of our stuff is because we try to do all of our stuff first and then give God a little bit of time over here last. Right? See, be faithful with what you got. Do what's right with what you got. So if you have a choice between God or something else, pick him and just believe him that there'll be time to do the other thing. Are you seeing this? This is part of being diligent. Now, it said the sluggard will not go plow, chose not to, right? Why? Because it's cold. In other words, I don't want to go plow. It's cold out there. It didn't say he couldn't, or it didn't say he couldn't, it said he wouldn't. Now, when you go out to plow in the cold, Let me say this statement, and we'll go from here. The sluggard always has being comfortable on his mind. The sluggard always has being comfortable on his mind, and the sluggard's greatest quest in life is to keep his flesh comfortable. In other words, I don't want to go out there and plow. When it's cold outside and you have to plow, the ground's hard. Plus, it's cold. I don't like being cold. I'd rather be 105 degrees. But it's ground's hard, and it's cold out there. I don't want to go out there. Well, see, what's he more concerned about? I'd just rather be comfortable. Okay, but listen now. The price has to be paid if you want to see the harvest come in your life. He's going to have to go out there and plow. What does it say about him? He doesn't go plow, and then harvest comes, and he's begging. What do you think's more uncomfortable, being cold for a few hours or starving and not having any food? He made the wrong choice. See, if he would have just engaged the uncomfortableness, I know that's not a word, the uncomfortableness of diligence, that would have been a lot less uncomfortable. There's a lot of different words in here. Than being starving when the harvest comes. In other words, being cold for a little bit would be a lot better off than not having any food when harvest time came. Having victory and walking in victory all the time and being healed and blessed and prosperous and having your needs met and your bills paid and out of debt and your kids saved, that'd be a lot better off than you spending, instead of spending an hour watching Oprah, you spend some time in the Word. I know that's comfortable right then to watch TV or do whatever, but I'd trade that for victory. And see, he traded comfort for harvest. And what he found out is that little time of comfort when it was cold was not worth his empty belly when harvest came. Notice it said he begged in harvest and nobody gave him anything. Did you hear that? So now the slothful or the sluggard's always looking to keep himself comfortable. He's not striving towards victory. He's striving towards being comfortable. But the diligent will sacrifice comfort to harvest the victory. The diligent are willing to be uncomfortable if that means they get the harvest. They don't mind plowing in the winter because they love the harvest time. Did you hear me? So you got to get to the place where you ever sit. We had some victory show up this week financially, and man, we were just on clouds. Just, you know, why? Because victory showed up. See, that's worth it. I don't care how many hours I had to sprint in prayer. Man, I like that. I like listening to tapes. I like doing that. But see, when victory shows up, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. But see, you got to start seeing victory as valuing victory more than you value 15 minutes of comfort. Well, I'm going to sleep in an extra hour because I'm tired. Well, are you giving up that? Are you trading victory for that hour is what I'm saying. You see that? See, don't trade. We'll talk about this in a second, but don't trade what you want most for what you want at the moment. See, right now you just might want comfort, but you know, 3 weeks from now you're going to want victory. And see, if you want victory, you got to be willing to pay the price to do what's necessary to walk in victory, because there's something you have to do, right? Now, I know Jesus paid the price. I know it's by grace, but it says you're saved by grace through faith. And we just read a scripture earlier. It said the work of faith. Right? And the labor, and not only that, but faith works by love. So not only do you got to engage the work of faith, but you also have to engage the labor of love. My goodness, that'll keep you busy. Did you hear me? See, don't trade it. Don't trade a little bit of comfort for the victory that you ultimately want. And that's what he did. Okay? Now, the diligent will pay the price. The diligent's willing to sacrifice comfort in his desire to see the harvest. And the diligent's greatest quest and greatest aim in life is the harvest. The diligent are possessed by vision, by the victory, that it gets so real to them, it's such a reality to them, and they have such a strong desire in their heart to see victory show up that they'll do whatever it takes before it shows up. But the slothful are just saying, well, yeah, you're going to spend time in the Word, but I'm tired. It's cold out there. Man, if I had spent time in the Word before I went to work, I'd have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You hear me? Now don't look at me like that, because I've been there. Having to wake up and be somewhere at 6 or 7 in the morning, and you want to spend a couple hours in the Word, so you're up at 4 before you wake up and you go outside and have to wake the animals up because they're not up yet. Still dark outside, just you and the Lord. And what you'll find is if you'll make that sacrifice, those will be the most precious times you've ever had with the Lord. And the reason is this, is because you're honoring him right then. You're saying, Lord, you're worth it. Oh, this is so worth it. My time with you is so important that I'll sacrifice sleep, comfort, and anything else. And when you honor God like that, what happens? He honors you, doesn't he? See, but you got to be diligent. Don't trade comfort. Just tell your flesh to shut up. You're getting up, whether it likes it or not. Remember, you're a spirit, right? And you're supposed to be in control of your mind and body. And I know what happens. You wake up in the morning, your mind says, go back to sleep. Your body said, good idea. Two agree, it'll be done. We all have been there, right? That's when your spirit needs to rise up and say, hey, no. You're getting up. Body, you ugly thing, you're getting up. You're going to spend some time in the Word. And mind, you just shut up and don't even think you're going to go in there and just go through the motions. No, you focus in on the Word. Because you know, sometimes you woke up and you just go in there, oh, our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, that's good. I'm going to go back to bed. No, go in there with attention. And see, what we say about diligence, focused, fix your attention. All right, your spirit's in control. And you used to get your spirit fed on the Word, and you just laugh at your body. Say, yeah, you would like to sleep a little bit longer, wouldn't you? Not today. You ought to be caught up by sleep by now. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got a few minutes left. Let's go to this next one here. Are you getting something out of this? Yeah. See, get possessed by the harvest. Get possessed by the victory that you can start seeing it. You can start tasting it. You can start smelling it. That, oh, I desire this so much more than I desire 15 minutes of extra whatever. Right? That's the whole key when you start working out with your physical body, isn't it? Some of you that have been on diets are working out. What happens? Well, I mean, you can start seeing the end. You know, you start losing some weight, getting in shape, losing some pounds, and that starts, what happens? You start getting momentum, don't you? You start getting confident. But then one day you trade what you want most, you know, for a little something maybe that you shouldn't have had. Are you seeing the difference? That's the whole idea. You always got to keep your mind on the end of it, and that'll keep you motivated to go through what's necessary to get to the end. That's why when you get focused on where you are, that's a law and a principle that you're putting in motion to stay where you are. But if you'll be always have your eye on where you're going, then you'll always be focused on what's got to be done to get you there. You see the difference? If you get focused on where you are, you just think, oh, nothing's changing. My goodness, this isn't working. Might as well just take a day off here. Well, see that, why? Because you're so focused on what it is now. Right? I mean, where's that scripture up there in Habakkuk? What, write the vision down. Keep it before your eyes, right? That you can run with it. Now, let's look at this last one and we'll be done. Are you getting something out of this? Now, the next one is this. So the first one is that the sluggard always has being comfortable on his mind. And we talked a little bit about this, but we're going to look at this again. The next one is the sluggard is always focused on what he wants at the moment. Let's look at Proverbs 13 and we'll be finished here. Proverbs 13. So the sluggard didn't go out because it was cold. See, at the moment, he would rather be warm, but what he wants most is a harvest when harvest time comes. See how he traded it? At the moment, he wanted to be comfortable and in the house, and while he's comfortable and in the house, the diligent person is outside plowing the field because he knew what he wanted most was the harvest, so he didn't trade what he... Because do you think the diligent person wanted to go out that day? No. He'd rather stayed inside too. But he wasn't willing to trade now for the harvest like the slothful person was. And the slothful person will always do that. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says this, the soul of the sluggard desires but has nothing. So he desires to have the harvest, but he doesn't have it because he traded diligence for slothfulness. See, what the sluggard what he doesn't take into account is that what will come because of his slothfulness will be much more uncomfortable than the exercise of diligence. See, when you're constantly neglecting the word, putting other things first, things are going to come in your life that are going to be a lot more uncomfortable than you'd spending some time in the Word and with God so that you can live by faith and walk in victory. So don't trade what your flesh wants right now for what you want to ultimately see. Amen. The diligent never trades what he wants most for what he wants at the moment. The diligent understands that the comfort that comes from the harvest is much greater than the flesh comfort that comes from being slothful. Harvest time is comfortable. Victory is comfortable. Man, we had that victory show, a couple of them, same day. Boom, boom, couple of nice victories, nice size victories. And it was comfortable. Man, we just, you know, before that, you're in the battle, right? You're living by faith. I can't lie to you. I wasn't releasing much faith for a couple of days. I was not releasing much faith. Thank God Amber was. That harvest came in, I went and threw it on her lap and said, look what your faith did. Mine didn't help. It's comfortable, man. Harvest and victory. It's comfortable. We see when you're engaged in the faith battle, sometimes that can be uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable to get an evil report and say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. You got tears coming down your eyes. It looks like nothing's working. That's uncomfortable. But if you'll stay diligent and stay in faith, the harvest will come. Nothing comfortable about living by faith. Do you hear me? Nothing comfortable. Now, see, but what can happen is you can develop yourself to the place where faith becomes natural and comfortable. Right? But if you're just starting out, there's nothing comfortable about it. You're trying to figure out why you're saying you're healed when sickness is still on your body. You're like, what is he yelling, preaching this to me? I don't even get this. Just keep doing it. It's not comfortable at first, but man, you start living by faith and it starts becoming a natural habit to you. An evil report comes to you and say, well, this isn't the end. This is a blip on the map and my victory's right around the corner. But see, that's not comfortable for your flesh. But it's worth the victory that it'll produce. Okay, let's look at this last one. That's it. Every decision that the diligent man makes takes him closer to his harvest. See, he's never thinking about what can I do to stay comfortable. He's always thinking about what can I do to get my harvest. So every decision he makes is based on with that goal in mind. So every decision he makes takes him a step closer to his harvest. So the diligent man, when he has a choice between the television or the word, now I'm not saying you can't watch any TV, don't misunderstand me, but you got to have priority, right? Now, but what I'm saying is when he has a choice, he chooses the thing that's going to get him closer to his harvest. Anybody ever get healed off watching a rerun of whatever? You're just watching a rerun of whatever you watch. I don't know what it is. And then boom, you get healed. I mean, Andy Griffith comes on talking to Opie and boom, healing shows up. No, that's not how it works, right? So what I'm saying is when you choose the word and choose diligence, every step is you're getting closer, you're getting closer, you're getting closer, and it's not easy, but the good thing about this is you got a God-sent, ordained encourager living on the inside of you and helper in the Holy Spirit, and you just got to open yourself up to his partnership and his help. Now, he is not going to pick you up off the couch and go throw you at your desk and open your Bible and grab you by the head and say, read this. He is not going to do that. He's going to do this. I think you should be spending some time in the Word now. I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm just letting you know. I think you should be spending some time in the Word. And you take a step and you say, okay. And as you're walking in the room, all of a sudden you get real excited about spending time in the Word. What's happening? The Holy Spirit's ministry is working in your life. And then you get in there and you open up a scripture and revelation starts to flow. Now you'd rather be in that room than you'd be anywhere else. Did you get something out of that? Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Father, we just thank you for this word tonight. Why don't you say this with me before we go? Let's make a confession of our faith. Say this with me. Say, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting the past. I'm not condemned about any acts of slothfulness or laziness in my life. I'm growing in diligence. I'm a diligent person. Holy Spirit, I thank you for helping me to not be slothful, but to be a diligent person who through faith and patience inherits the promise. I will not trade what I want most for what I want at the moment. I will not sacrifice my victory for a little bit of comfort. My goal, my focus in life is the victory. And it's the harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Tell somebody God loves you and I love you. Remember, God is love and Jesus is Lord.